Side. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sairam's greetings from Prashant Nilayam, the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe. You are tuned to Asia's stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony, and a warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live. Live hosting and broadcasting from studios of Radio Sai. Well, this is a segment, Service Love in Action, and I am Raghu from Radio Sai. At the very outset, as always, let us all collectively offer our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, the voice and the listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Well, today is 26 June and the digital clock in our studio shows the time as 11:20 a.m. Well, the weather here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram is quite cool and pleasant, a mixture of sunshine and cloud. But whatever it be, dear listeners, be it the weather, climate, people or festivals, everything here at Prashant Nilayam is full of divine vibes, and it is our humble endeavor to bring these sacred vibes to your homes through various Radio Sai programs. As I said, this is a segment, Service Love in Action, in which we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Well, let's talk about the city of Mumbai. Mumbai is a metropolitan city of India and also India's financial, commercial and entertainment capital. One can see both the extremes of human society there. The rich enjoying in the five-star hotels of Taj and Oberoi and the poor suffering in the slums, sometimes just next door. But according to Swami, who is rich and who is poor? He who has many desires is the poorest man in the world, and he who has much satisfaction is the richest man in the world. This is what Swami has said. Now, the city of Mumbai is known for its fast-paced, busy life. People are always engaged in some or the other activity, good or bad. It is also one of those Indian cities that has had its share of terrorist attacks. The 26/11, one of the most dangerously ones in the recent past. When the situation is such, dear listeners, how can one follow Bhagwan's teachings of love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never? Just a couple of weeks back, I had recorded a conversation with a Sai devotee from Chembur in Mumbai, who is a prominent member of a group of Sai active workers who call themselves as Chembur Dust. These Sai devotees of Bhagwan have taken up a lot of service activities in Chembur, and through their actions they have shown to others what Swami always says: give all and take nothing, serve all and be nothing. So let's listen to that inspiring conversation.
Sairam sir, greetings and a warm welcome to Radio Sai Studio.
Sairam.
This is a segment called Service Love in Action, and in this segment we talk to Swami's devotees and listen to their experience of being involved in service activities wherever they are and in whatever capacity they can.
Okay.
As Swami has given a lot of importance to service to society, in fact now service has become a part of life for each and every Sai devotee.
True, true.
So it's very nice to listen to their experiences, what activities they do, and get inspired and also make others inspired. So that is the aim of this segment.
Okay.
Now your group Chembur Dust is involved in a number of praiseworthy service initiatives in Chembur, Mumbai. And it's increasingly becoming visible and gaining good headlines. So today we want you to speak about the various initiatives that you have taken and how it has created an impact in the society, mainly in Chembur, Mumbai.
Yeah.
So let's start by you telling us, what is the vision you had initially when you started this group?
Actually, around 2005, as I was engaged myself in the regular activities of our samiti, I found there are so many pockets which require a deeper engagement, hand-holding. What you are doing normally, like this Narayan Seva, Village Seva, and the regular Seva activities, are kind of many-to-many model. So, there are different pockets which require focused attention, which require one-to-one kind of engagement, no, hand-holding. So then, I thought we should do a survey and find out, can we do some Seva activities at least, in a more intense manner, where the beneficiaries get the benefit of hand-holding, a deeper engagement, a longer duration of Seva. So then we did the survey and found out mainly the following areas, like the deserted senior citizens, the poor children, orphan children, the slum and village youth looking for direction, and the poor patients who come from outstation get stranded in the city. So these are the areas initially we started off and grouped some people, you know, who are interested in a longer duration of Seva with a deeper kind of engagement, and then started this.
Okay. So you now you call this group as Chembur Dust, right? Just for the benefit of listeners, let me just read out the main activities that you are involved in. That is Midnight Scholar Seva, then Bol Bindas Initiative, Vriddha Seva, Footpath Cancer Patient Seva, Kidney Patients Breakfast Seva. And in fact, it goes on like this. So, it's an impressive and very moving list of activities. So, let's start with, the Midnight Scholar Seva. What is this all about and who are these Midnight Scholars?
As I told you, this one of the focus areas is this slum youth looking for a direction. They don't have resources, but they have dream.
Okay.
These are the students, mostly SSC students, during the time of the examination only they start preparing, at least 1 month before that only. And they don't have enough space wherever they stay. It's a shanty slums, you know, by 150 square foot, and so many folks at home sleeping in the night, not allowing these kids to study. So they all come to a public garden where only 4 lights are there. Mm. No other facility. So overnight they study during the exam time. So for nearly 3 to 4 weeks. So we go there exactly 3 weeks before the last exam.
These are children so for 10th standard?
Yeah, 10th standard exams are happening. That time they come.
Okay, board exams.
Board exam. So they are from slums. All of them are from slum only. And about 100 children. Initially when we started about 7 years back, there were only some 50-60 children. Now more than 100 children are studying there. The first day we go there and then find out how many people come there. So we know the number. And then we have a list of about 4 to 5 items. Like we give them some snacks, eats, and then tea, bananas, biscuits, Odomos. Like mm-hmm. that we identify some 4 or 5 items. And then we tell our devotees to participate. Whoever wants to participate in that by donating this item, one item they can choose. And whatever item they choose, they have to give 100 minimum. 100, 125, whatever number we declare.
Okay.
So minimum that much they have to give. And one devotee is permitted to give for 1 day only, so that everybody gets an opportunity. So we make a table and schedule and fill it. And then people book it. And around 11:30 we start.
11:30 in the night.
We start and go to all these points of pickup. And then in 2 vehicles we go there, minimum 2 vehicles. We go there and then all our volunteers will immediately get down and collect all the students, make them sit together. And then spend some value time as our other Mahila volunteers would be distributing. So we'll be talking to those students. Mm. And then we spend some value time with them. And in half an hour to 45 minutes we pack up and then come back. Because they all study throughout the night, we wanted to just give them a name. And that's Midnight Scholars.
Okay.
And we also make T-shirts, name of Om Sai Ram, Midnight Scholars, like that. And everybody wears the T-shirt.
Uh-huh. So this happens once in a year?
And yeah, correct.
For how many days?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks on the last exam. Uh-huh. After the last exam, is every night at 12 o'clock we go there, every night. And after the last exam is over, immediately following the Sunday, early morning, at 5 o'clock, we take all of them by walk from Chembur to Siddhivinayak, which is in Prabhadevi, about 10 kilometers away.
Siddhivinayaka temple.
Yeah, temple. There we end our seva. They all wear the T-shirt and we go by walk and then we end our seva in Siddhivinayak. We are done with it.
Hmm.
First, we started in 2007, and at that time even water was not available there. So even water bottles we used to carry for all the 60, 70 children at the time.
Okay.
Now there is a water tap provided because we went and told the local municipal body, and they fixed on a water tap over there. At that time, the first batch, all the students said that we wanted to be associated with you even after this program is over. And they were quite sentimental about it. Then we thought, what do we do? So then we said, okay, which area do you require training? Some of them are interested in computer, many of them are interested in English speaking and stuff. So then we started a class called Bol Bindas.
Okay.
So for English speaking. That happens every Sunday from 5 to 7. So there we teach them English speaking, computer hardware, and personality development.
Okay. Why you named it as Bol Bindas? Can you tell?
See, basically, these people know, they require a spoken English skill. They understand when the English is spoken. And they have to speak without fear.
Yeah.
So, bol bindas means bindas without fear. So, speak without fear. Bol bindas is that. Yeah, bol is speak.
Okay.
Speak without fear. That is bol bindas.
Okay. So, how a class unfolds, can you tell us?
Theme of our seva is to identify the gaps where normally the other NGOs, other social workers don't step in. And that gap remains like that only. And because of that, there is a huge opportunity to improve the quality of life, and that goes untouched. So we are identifying those gaps. Like this Bol Bindas, when we started, we kept on talking to the people and then identified the spoken English is, the focus should be on spoken English. And many of them who teach English, they go into, get into the grammar, and then these kids, you know, get confused, and they cannot be over a very long duration. So you ask them to just come for a class for 6 months and all, their dropout will be very high. So what we did, we picked up only the spoken English part of that. We don't teach anybody grammar. We asked them to buy one English newspaper. That is compulsory. The free purse is costing only 1 rupee. And we found that some of them won't even buy that. Even though we are reimbursing. They can buy it and then give the bill to us, that monthly bill. And we reimburse that, and still many of them won't do that. Then we found out why it's happening. That then it should be delivered at home. So we insist that the paper should not be bought from the shop. Then someday they buy, someday they don't buy. So it should be delivered at home. So that we made it compulsory. And they have to listen to the FM. That English channel. Sometimes the programs come in English, and that time we just identify that bandwidth and then tell them that is compulsory for them. So wherever the possibility of listening to English and interacting is there, those situations we move them. Then spoken English, they gain some proficiency. And another area is the confidence. So confidence building is very important. Why they don't speak fluently in English is basically because they lose confidence. They learn, they speak very well when in isolation. But when they are before some people, the crowd, then they lose confidence and then the country is lost. So to build up confidence, what we did, we asked them to wear blazer and tie. So that is uniform. So in our class, as soon as they enter, there's a cupboard, they just go straight and open it and wear their blazer and tie. And they come and sit. So they all look great in that blazer and tie. And very dignified also.
Yes.
And then that boosts their morale and confidence. So these are experience.
So, it's nice, this Bol Bindas class, BBC you can call it.
Yeah, yeah, we call it as BBC, the boys call it as BBC. Apart from this, it is not only that English speaking and personality development, we also take them out, like we take them to a planetarium and then stargazing, the real stargazing. There are very many amateur astronomers in Mumbai and they conduct programs. So overnight we have to be outskirts of the city where the city glare is not there. There, overnight with the three telescopes, they do stargazing. So our boys have gone there. We also take them for bird watching. And there are certain NGOs who conduct this bird watching program. So we participate in that as well. So the children have, you know, a lot of things to learn from all these activities.
Can you share some success stories which has come out of this activity?
Yeah, in Bol Bindas, I can tell there was a girl who was a maid servant, and when she came to the first class, she was very shy. And then we told her, no problem, you come and sit in the front row. Even if you are not able to speak well, you can keep listening for the first few classes, and then you can attempt to speak. And then we encouraged her to complete her graduation. And we also have a corporate visit, and we have taken her along with other students to a medical BPO. It's an American medical BPO, and we took them around. The CEO of the company also was very much interested in looking at all the students, and he came along, and at the end, you know, they wanted the students to ask some questions, and the best question, most difficult question was asked by this girl who was a maid servant.
Oh, okay.
And when he told about the background of this girl, the CEO wouldn't believe that could happen. This girl can ask such questions. And then later, she became a graduate. Right now, she's working in a company. We picked up the entire expense of her graduation fees and stuff. So that was one success story. There's also another boy. Before 200 people in Chembur, after 1 year in our class, he could deliver a talk in English. Okay. Very well, and there was a standing ovation for him, and he is now working in a mall as a supervisor. And there is another boy who initially won't come even in the front row and sit, and he'll always be sitting in the back row. And he called up recently to tell, sir, do you remember me? I was in a class some 3 years back, and now I'm a police constable. And I was almost a dropout, and I was going in the wrong way. Because I started attending your class, particularly the personality development has changed me. So that's what he was ascribing the credit to, the personality development classes. And he changed the course of my life, and right now I'm a constable. That's what he said. So like that, there are so many small success stories from the class.
Apart from spoken English, any computer skills training also?
Yeah, actually the computer hardware we teach them, basically because if you really, again, as I said, that gap analysis. We did a gap analysis and found many of these organizations, when the particularly the small and medium enterprises, when the computer is down, they'll call up the guy, computer guy. You won't come immediately. It takes time. You may come the next day or whatever. So there within the office, somebody is there to attend to these small faults, and the first two levels of repairing can be done. So it will be a great help. And these boys will never lose the job after that. So that's why we thought it will be a good idea to teach these people hardware rather than software or any other soft skill. It is better they learn this hardware. First two levels of repairing. The computer is down. So that has been really successful, and most of them have picked up very well actually. They can go beyond that two level also.
Okay.
So we had a computer hardware engineer coming to our class and then open up, and then they all can handle that. We are now going to teach them to assemble a computer by buying components in the market. So that's also a very successful program.
Wonderful. In today's world, if one doesn't know to speak English or doesn't know about computer, then I think he'll be considered illiterate.
Yeah, the whole idea is only that. No? See what happens. Unemployment is not a problem at all. The unemployability is the major problem in India. These guys do the graduation, they come out, and then they can't speak English properly. Because of that, that becomes a big impediment for them to take up a job. And not skilled in any particular area. They don't have any specific skill. Like if they are specializing in hardware. So that also could not help them.
They just have a degree, that's it.
Yeah. So then unemployability, so because he's having a degree, he cannot also go and do menial job as well. So if he's a dropout totally, at least he can go and sell some vada pav.
Yes.
Or put up a roadside stall and stuff. But because he's a graduate, he can't do that also. And with his graduation, he cannot get a job also. So he's stuck in between. So that is why these kind of candidates we pick up and then train them in specific skill like this computer hardware, and also provide them some spoken English training.
So that was wonderful, sir. So now let's go to the next activity. You are talking about the senior citizens. Vriddha Seva.
Yeah. Actually, we found in the society at present, many senior citizens are abandoned. Nobody want to take care of them. And these are the people in certain old age homes, or in the lower middle class also you find in their homes they are dumped, then they don't stir out of their homes. They don't get an opportunity. They feel like, going out and staying somewhere, but they don't get an opportunity. So this we came to know again by doing a small survey and talking to people and got the feedback. Then we thought it would be a great idea if all these people could be collected in home atmosphere in our own homes. So we have two adjacent flats of a devotee, and then we collect all these people, particularly these strangers. So we put a condition that all those senior citizens should be strangers to us. Otherwise people will say your own relatives or known people, anybody can keep. So we wanted to prove to the world, if we can keep the strangers in our house and entertain them for a week, with each day having a program, spiritual sadhana, dance, drama, whatever. So, and one day outing, and one day a medical doctor coming and checking them, making a file and giving to them. So this kind of program we started, and 15 people have been collected. On October 1st is a World Elders Day. So that is the time we start this program. It runs for a week to 10 days each year. So they are coming from different parts of Mumbai. And we give a free hand to the samitis to choose, because they know the locality
okay.
and the kind of people and their background. They are with us for 1 week and then they go back. Next year, again, fresh set of people will come. They have to be again strangers to us.
Mm.
And they could be from any community, any religion. So there's no ban as such. But they all live together, sleep together. Mm. For a week, they'll all be there. And to entertain them, artists come, dancers come, well-known ones, well-known dancers have come and performed. So well-known singers have come, Carnatic singer. Yeah, even Abhang classes, so Abhang program is also held. So once in a year, October 1st.
October 1st. So these elderly people, they are selected by the samitis.
Yeah, because we don't get to know about their background.
So 15 elderly people or 15 couples, is it?
Not couples, 15 people.
15 people.
15 people.
And they stay in whose house?
In that devotee's house only.
One devotee or how it is?
And then it is two adjacent flats are there. So in that house only they stay.
Okay.
And their family is also there only. And all the volunteers, our volunteers go there every day, morning and evening. And serve them food, take care of them, talk to them. So we have a schedule for the day, right from the morning, you know, they get up and Subrabhatam, and then Nagar Sankirtan, and then somebody coming and chanting this Lalita Sahasranam, and the spiritual chants, and bhajans, bhajan training, and reading Sai literature. So like throughout the day we have the film shows, and
video shows.
Particularly this Chardham Yatra, and other spiritual journeys. So that kind of films are also shown every day.
So, do you talk to them about Swami also?
Yeah, but we tell them, no, it is not compulsory for them to be a Sai devotee, because we believe in all gods as a Sai devotee. So, but many people are interested in knowing because when they come and see that Baba's photograph everywhere, and then they want to know about it, and then we tell, we show films also on Baba.
Okay.
Whoever is interested, we definitely.
So, from how many years this is going on?
This Vridha Seva has been going on since October 2006.
Okay.
Every year continues, but not a single year we have missed it.
So any touching moments can you share with us?
Actually, now we tell them every time when the program is on that it is not that only 1 week you have come and stayed here. You have to be here. Even after that also, throughout the year, whenever you feel like coming and staying for 4 or 5 days for a change, you are welcome to come and see. Normally they don't come first because they are very shy or their relatives may not be sending. They feel that it will be a disturbance to their family or whatever. So once one old lady came all the way, there was no information, she didn't even inform us in advance, but took her bag and came all the way from Kalyan and then said that she felt like coming and staying for a couple of days, it felt nice and all that. So that was a very, very touching moment and she in fact cried and many of them while going back, definitely it happens because one day we give it to the youth and they come and perform, give some performance, games and all they play with the series of the busting the balloons and stuff. So that day they really enjoy very much. And on the last day is a very touching experience because we make all of them sit and wash their feet and do Pada Puja for each one of them.
Okay.
We do Pada Puja and that is not by one or two persons, entire volunteers and whoever is interested in doing Pada Puja for these people. That moment definitely most of them break down and say, no, this is just not done. And many say that even our own children don't do, you are doing like this. So no, they break down and cry. And
it's like you see Swami in them.
Yeah, that's right. So we see, over a period of time we have learned that we have to see Swami in everybody.
It's like literally you bring Swami for a week and follow all the routines that happens in Prasad Nilayam, the Vedam chanting.
Yeah, one day, actually it is very interesting, one day there are Vedam chanting people who are not Sai devotees as such, but they are practicing this Vedam. And they come, the entire group comes one evening and then chant Vedam for one full hour. And take blessing from senior citizens. Now it has become very popular. Even the newspapers also once they covered. We told that our name should not be there, but you can about the activity you can write, and our name should never come anywhere. So they, without naming, they gave the photo of the senior citizens, the activity. So the many people are interested in coming and serving them.
Okay. Now, sir, this midnight scholars, many childrens are benefited, and also this Vridha Seva. So, have any of them come to Puttaparthi? Have you brought them here?
Yeah, definitely. We have brought them more than three occasions. We have brought them to Puttaparthi. Yeah. Now we have announced only last week as a part of the extension of this Vridha Seva. Whoever is interested in going to Kashi, or if they are Muslims, to Ajmer, or respective if you're Christian, whichever is our their prominent location,
pilgrimage.
We would pilgrimage spot. We would bear the entire expenses, including the food and accommodation.
Okay.
Only thing is, they should be poor and or lower middle class.
Mm.
So our now we're told the Samithis to identify. Only last week it has happened. So they're now identifying. There are many people we found. They're interested in going to Kashi before death. You know, that is very very sentimental issue for them. But they don't have enough resources. So what we have done is we have made an arrangement in Varanasi. These people can go and stay there. So only thing is, on the train somebody has to take a lead and then go with them. So that we are identifying. So the entire expenditure to and fro and also the accommodation would be taking care like that. So that we are going to do as an extension of this Vridha Seva. Anyway, many of them have come with us to Puttaparthi. Whoever is interested. But we don't insist that they come only to Puttaparthi, but they can go any place of their interest.
So now after this slum youth, senior citizen, I think the next focus point is on patients, right?
Yeah. We are focusing on cancer patients, kidney patients. Initially we started off the cancer patients. That also because there was a small news item saying that people from all over the country come to Mumbai for treatment in Tata Memorial Hospital. And because of the long duration of the treatment, they cannot find accommodation, they cannot afford accommodation, so they end up being on the footpath. So I was wondering, how can they be on the footpath?
Mm, yes.
So I just wanted to go and see myself, and I took a young doctor with me. Just we wanted to do a survey, if we can start a seva over there. It was around that time, only around 2005. So then I went there, and then looked around, and we sat with each and every patient and then noted down the details. The doctor was asking questions, looking at their file. And then we found, how it is happening. These are the people coming from particularly north and northeast and all that.
First of all, why do they come specifically to that hospitals?
Yeah, actually, the cancer patients initially are treated, suppose somebody is not from northeast or even Bengal, they go to Calcutta. Or the respective places, nearby towns and all that. So there they cannot handle beyond a point. Then there are for them, Tata Memorial Hospital being a very big hospital.
Okay.
A specialized hospital in cancer treatment. So they are referred here. So they come here. But they don't have any idea about this kind of expenditure for accommodation, food and stuff.
Is the treatment less expensive?
Yeah, of course. Definitely there are cases called no cost, NC and all that.
Mm.
But definitely there is expenditure also. There are procedures that have to be done. Some procedures done outside, medicine, so many things are there. And these people come with a limited amount and then they spend the money over a period of time. So initially they stay in some hotels. Accommodations are available for 1 week, 10 days and all that. They stay there. After that they move to Dharamshala, even some 20 rupees per day per patient, all that.
Mm.
And from there, even that also they cannot afford. Ultimately they end up in footpath.
Okay.
Mm. So that we found at that time around 50-60 families were there.
In footpath?
On footpath.
My God.
So because they are asked to go and come back after say 3 weeks. They cannot just go and come back. So some of them, the treatment is an outpatient, the treatment is going on. Like that. So they stay put there only. So it makes economic sense for them to remain here rather than going and coming and taking the trouble of bringing the patient once again in that journey. So they stay here only. So these are the people with a very dignified kind of lifestyle background over there in the native place, whichever place they belong to. But just because they have blown up all the money in treatment and other expenditure, so they ended up in the footpath. So we thought, what could we do? You know, we asked them. So we found one way of helping them is food. So if we provide food, one-time food, and whatever the money they spend on food, at least they can save. They can spend on the patient. So we started off with that. So every evening, we are providing food. And then we found some of them cannot eat solid food. They have that tube attached and then can take only liquids. So to them, we provide everyday milk, arranged with the milk shop over there. So we pay, take down the names and register them, and then they take the milk every day from that shop. And we pay for that. And then we talk to all the other samithis, Sai samithis, and then each day one samithi is linked. And like we ourselves go on Thursdays. Then we found out for want of some 100-200 rupees, many people are not even buying the medicine which they are supposed to buy. If the doctor prescribed and asked them to buy from outside. And they don't do that just because they don't have that kind of money. So 100-200 rupees also they don't have. So then we found there are so many patients like that not able to buy medicines, which the doctors asked them to buy from outside. So those people we collect, and then based on the prescription, doctor's prescription, authorized prescription, we help them buying the medicines. We don't give them cash. We ask them to come to the medicine shop. Then one after another, we verify the prescription, and then the shop owner gives the medicines. and we pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So like that we started that. And then we found, as we went along, there are many patients who have been asked to go, and whatever could be done, they have done. They could not go back just because they don't have money to buy the tickets to go back. Even though it is concession, still even then, they are not in a position to go. So those cases also we identify, verify with the documentation. We have a process for everything. Then they have to show that documentation. Once we verify that, then we buy them tickets to go back. So like that. So medicines, milk, food, and all these tickets.
Now, talking about food, every evening it's given.
Yeah, every evening one samiti would go.
Does it come as lunch or has dinner? How it is?
No, it will be used only for dinner. Because it's late evening. Yeah, dinner. It's basically meant for dinner only. Evening, actually, evening around 5:30, 6 o'clock, they reach there and give these packets.
So it's cooked food?
Yeah, we insist only the chapati, bhaji. So mostly North Indian, so North Indian food.
But still I'm wondering, sir, how patients can live in footpath?
Yeah, you have to come there to see, to believe it. It's, I mean, initially they were staying alongside the hospital only. Now, the hospital is not allowing them to sleep there. So they have to be there, collect the food and then go and sleep.
If there is heavy rain, then what they do?
So there are plastic sheets also provided. See, there are other NGOs also coming and providing. But they are not regular, no? So there's one-off seva they do. So we are the only one who have been there since long, continuously providing the evening food and medicines and all that. Other NGOs are there. They also come. Morning, somebody is giving something. But there's many people are doing one-off seva. All that is happening. So in different ways people help. So the plastic sheets are definitely given. So with that they manage.
But still, it'll be a very pathetic scene.
Yeah, tough. So, life is very tough.
Mm.
Basically, you know, when people say that we want to help and then give money, you know, we don't collect cash. We tell them, no, you just come and visit, participate.
Participate.
Our whole theme of our seva is identify the gap and then directly participate, be one-to-one, handhold the patient till they come out of the problem at least for a longer duration. So we invite people to come and see. This is the kind of situation. So you thank your stars, thank your God, how He has kept you in a high pedestal.
Yes, yes. In fact, I am just reminded of the Gram Seva that happens in Satyasa Institute. We boys get a chance to go to the villages and see their condition.
Yeah, that is very important. It sensitizes people.
Yes, it sensitizes the boys. And that's why many of the boys, after passing Swami's Institute, they go out and serve.
We tell people, so many people call up and tell, no, then what can we do? Can we give you money? Can you give a check? And all that. We say, no, you come and participate.
Yes, correct.
So once you see these people in miserable condition, how they are, there's absolutely no hope. They don't have money at all. Still, no, they will not abandon the patient. We can see so many mothers clinging on to their children. In that poverty, not a single pie they have, and still they have hope. Some miraculous thing will happen, the child will survive, come out of it. No, that hope is always there. And we lose hope, even for a small obstacle there, immediately we lose hope. And we have to learn. So one thing we definitely learn from all these people, we don't feel that we are going there to give something. We are going there only to learn.
Yes, yes.
The resoluteness, the hope, the unshakable faith they have with no resources. And we have everything and still, we feel so dejected at times. So there's a lot of, lessons to be learnt.
So after this cancer patient's seva, now let's get to the kidney patient's seva.
Yeah, so as we were doing this cancer patient seva, we discovered there is another area which requires the focused attention. That is this dialysis, the kidney patients, poor kidney patients. Till the kidney replacement happens, the dialysis has to be continued. So initially it start off with twice a week and after it becomes thrice a week. And the dialysis cost also varies. In smaller places, I found even they charge something like 1,000-1,500 rupees per session. Per session. So twice a week, you can understand how much money it would be rolling in a month. So we have seen a patient coming all the way from Behranpur to Mumbai to one dialysis center, which charges only 390 rupees. See, we wanted to pursue that case and find out what it is. So we did a case study of that, and then we found that there are 21 dialysis machines in that particular center near Masjid, and they run three shifts, means 63 patients are being dialyzed, and also the fourth shift is run if there is a requirement. And then we thought we should go there, because only poor patients are coming there. They charge 390 rupees also per dialysis. So these poor patients, the first shift in the morning, so again our idea is to identify the gap where other NGOs, other social workers normally don't go. That is the area where we wanted to be. So we spoke to the patients and found the morning first shift, whoever is coming there, which starts at 6 o'clock, they're supposed to be there. And they must be leaving home at 4 o'clock or whatever, because they come from very long distance, some of them from our station. And these people definitely don't eat anything in the morning. So they said the morning breakfast, if we get, not be a great help.
Mm.
They don't buy food either. So we said, okay, we will look at that. And it is a tough day. We already morning, 8 o'clock, many people are office goers in Mumbai.
Mm.
And for us to mobilize a team to go and serve food in the morning at 8 o'clock is really a tough kind of situation. But we started off with one day to find out whether it works and really it benefits. And it was welcomed by everybody and it was a great relief for them. So then we extended to other days as well. And now all these 7 days we have people, 6 days. Of course, one day it's closed for servicing the missions on Sunday. Other days, our different samitis, our people, we are coordinated and it's happening very nicely.
Provide the breakfast.
Yeah, provide the breakfast. Afterwards, we found even the 390 rupees many people are not able to pay.
Okay.
And somebody will come and, now in front of us only one fellow said, I have only 115 rupees. And 390 is required for this dialysis.
Mm.
And then that is the time I realized, I asked them, is there any patient like that who is not able to afford even 390 rupees? And they gave me a big list. These are the people who are not able to afford. And when we started off, the Rajiv Gandhi Yojana was not there. Afterwards, that also started. There are many other centers also providing that. But again, some people technically don't qualify for that. Then we identified those people who are not coming under that Rajiv Gandhi Yojana and who have to pay from their pocket, and you are not able to do that. So we identified those patients and then we started footing their bill. And we wanted to link it with a unique sadhana ceiling on desires. Because the amount is very small, then it is much easier for people to save money by practicing ceiling on desire some way and then provide that money to them. So we linked it.
Hmm.
We started off with some school children. We told them, we found that interestingly that pizza is costing only 380 rupees if it is home delivered.
Okay.
So we asked the child, can you skip a pizza in a week?
And
then give that for kidney dialysis. Then we will tell you the story of the person who has been dialyzed with the money which you are given. The child was interested very much and then the money was given, the dialysis happened. And then we took the photograph of the patient with his permission to share the story. And then we wrote the story, printed it with the photograph of that patient. And on the back of that, we kept that receipt with the child's name. And together we laminated that.
Mm.
And that the child found it a proud position and started showing to the school. And there's so many other people are interested in that. So that is how we started the ceiling on desire. And afterwards, many people have participated in that. Some people have skipped, going by taxi, very conscious of this. And they keep a box and then put whatever money saved by ceiling on desire. And when it is pooled to 390 plus, then they give to us. But we take it only in the name of the check should be in the name of the hospital. And we go and give it to those patients who are not under any scheme and they have to pay from their pocket and we can't afford.
Mm.
Those kind of patients are helped by this ceiling on desires.
Now, since your group has been following the Ceiling on Desires program for many years now, can you tell our listeners some ways in which we can do the Ceiling on Desires?
Yeah, there are many ways. Nowadays, you find, you go to mall and then irresistible urge to buy. So we don't really evaluate there is a need, a genuine need for this particular purchase. We just buy impulse. There's impulse purchases are happening. See, even if you curtail, not totally, even partly, these impulse purchases, the money saved could come as a ceiling on desires.
Mm.
And downstream, if you go down and see, there are people from the lower middle class below that, and they practice it very diligently. I have seen a lady who has stopped a maid servant one time, and the money which is saved out of that, she is giving for the ceiling on desires. We were very touched by that. Like that, there's one lady who was going, because of her health condition, all the way from Chembur to BT by taxi because she can't take a bus ride. And she said, no, I can save money by going up to Lalbagh. After that, the buses are empty. I can take an AC bus.
Okay.
So by that, she has calculated some money. Mm-hmm. She saved and then she gave this. So like that, there are innovative ways of practicing ceiling of desire because you know your condition better. But very generally speaking, there are so many impulse purchases which can be curtailed, reduced, and that money can be diverted to this. And there are so many needy people. So for a person to, even for his own dialysis, 390 rupees he cannot mobilize. That is the condition of the people. In the same city, it will be a vulgar display of wealth. No, we just blow up the money in the malls and be insensitive to this kind of misery around us. All the time our volunteers are on the lookout for areas where we can do seva innovatively. The check for that is, if we don't do, what happens? Nobody else is going to do that and it will remain like that only. Then we immediately pick up the seva.
Mm.
That is how we test it. So one area we found was there are a lot of tourists come to Mumbai and some children are lost. That is one. Another one is there are children who run away from their homes. So they just look at the films and all that, and then they think the Mumbai is a great city, and then we can do something, and then they come with some friends, and then they get lost here. So like that, all these lost children are taken by government and put in a shelter. So there are a lot of lost children. And they are not able to find the address because the child is not able to tell the address properly. So there we told with the government permission, if we can assist them in getting the children reunited with the parents. So then we went through a particular procedure for that officially. And they have permitted us. And then we help them. So like that we helped 7 children to be reunited. So what we do is then we with the authorities sitting by the side, we ask the children about the school, the teacher's name. So different hints we give.
And then where do you get these children? Where they will be lost?
They are housed in government shelter.
Government shelter.
So they are all housed there. So suppose some child is lost, the police, it's all police case.
Okay.
And they bring them and put it in that shelter. The government shelter. We are permitted by the government department to be with the authorities to inquire the child and help them to reunite with the parents. So that is how we do that.
Can you share some stories where you have reunited with parents?
Yeah, actually there was a child somewhere from Agra, and the authorities asked them, you are not able to give the address properly. See, these are the cases where they don't remember their house address properly. And they can only tell the name of the parents, and they are very small, like that. So then we kept asking, and then we found out he was coming from his aunt's place, and he lost the way. It is somewhere near Agra, some village. So then we asked the bigger village nearby. So like that we asked, and then ultimately the school's name. You know, he was a dropout, of course, and he was able to tell the old school's name. And some teacher's name he remembered. So with all these pieces of information put together, we tried to connect and we could just locate. And also there was a girl child from Andhra. And she also gave the name of the village. And that village was, we googled and we couldn't find because her pronunciation was different.
Okay.
So then we 4-5 different pronunciations we wrote and tried, and then we still couldn't get that. It was near Chittur. Then we asked our network of people from Andhra, and one guy was able to tell. He said, no, probably it must be this way, it's not spelled properly. Then we through our network, we just sent the information to them, to somebody nearby, to go to the village. So they went to the village and then asked if any child lost and all this, and they could find, locate, and it was a shepherd.
Okay, shepherd.
Shepherd's child. So then through the government procedure, whatever the procedure was there to follow, they bring the there's a court case, of course, and the ration card and stuff, all these documents. We helped the parents to come here because they didn't have money even to come to Mumbai. Then I asked them to come with somebody who knows Hindi.
Okay.
So there was one in the nearby town, and then we said, okay, both the tickets we will buy. So like that. And then we came here, went to the court and produced all the documents and retrieved the child. And they were very happy.
Wonderful. It should be a very touching scene to see parents.
Yeah, actually. So what you were also not very sure whether the girl really, they are claiming the right child. You know, it's very, very touchy and sensitive area, it is. But the moment the father saw the child from distance, he broke down and cried, and the child also cried.
Okay.
So that was a very touching scene.
So now let's come to this painting, carpentry, electric seva. So whom it's intended to?
Yeah, actually, the another gap area, as I told, was we went to a home and then we found the fan not working. And it was a shelter. These kind of places, very small details like this. When fan is not working, nobody is going to attend to it immediately. So like that, in another orphanage we found, the one pipe was under repair. And all that would have costed some 1800 rupees. And that was not done because that they had to go a long distance and fetch water. So like that, these are the areas which actually drew our attention. And then we felt, these small things, if we attend to, then improve the quality of life.
Yes.
Definitely. So then carpentry, the door not closing properly because of the night it opens and the barrage of mosquitoes going in. Then we asked, they said the door doesn't fit in, so it won't close. So some small carpentry was involved. So what we did, a plumber, carpenter, electrician team we made. And then we asked our people to identify these small defects, whichever they come across when they visit. And we attended to that. So that we did in a children home, old age home, and still continuing.
And you also train the youth for these skills, like plumbing,
carpentry. So the another area we found was this majorly in the villages, there are a lot of dropouts. Mm. People who make it up to 12th standard and above, they go migrate to cities and they get some job. And people who cannot even come up to 10th standard or fail 8th standard, or dropouts mainly, they are sizable in number. And these people, they look for some direction. And there is nobody to provide direction to them basically because they are not skilled and they can't do anything. So they go and mainly go for this labor work. And whatever they get, you know, they eke out a living out of that. We thought it would be a good idea if all these dropouts, you know, we focus only on dropouts and get them and trained in some skill area. The government schemes are there. Already there are a lot of schemes available for them. But again, there's a gap. Somebody has to now take the responsibility to take these children, put them into that scheme and then get them trained in some ITI and all that. Well, it's not happening. It's a question of taking a lead. Mm. Schemes are, abundant schemes are there. But nothing is happening basically because of that. Somebody trying to take a lead and then doing something. It's the last mile connectivity. So we said, okay, we'll do that. And we pulled around 50, 60 such cases. As a first batch, again, to get them trained in ITA and other institution nearby, there are a lot of logistical issues. And they cannot go and stay in a town.
Yes, yes.
Nearby town, we don't have the facilities. The training is available, but staying on food becomes a problem. And there are other issues also. So we thought it would be a good idea. We just tie up with an institution recognized by a government. They provide the course free. And we provide food and shelter to them. We arrange with them. And pay for it. We pick up the bill, which will not be a huge thing. So we can tell our organization, our trust to help us out in this. So that trust was very happy if we could do that. So one test batch we'll do and see, like that we tied up. And then about 33 such cases have been identified now. But the boys are taking training in welding, AC mechanic and electrician. And for all the three, there's a huge demand.
Mm.
See, if you really see, look at all the towns, majorly in many of the towns, even tier 2 towns, tier 3 towns also, a lot of construction housing is happening. It is as though the whole India is being rebuilt. And all the big cities, you know, there are a lot of towers. And look at the potential for welders, AC mechanics and electricians. That is, there is always scarcity for these people. That be the scarcity on one side and everybody suffering. On the other side, these are the boys available, sitting idle, and they can be trained. All that takes is only 4 months training to do the initial jobs. After they have to really get trained, you know, on the job. But even the initial training also to provide, there are schemes. So on the one side, there are a lot of government schemes for free education to these boys, and the boys are available, and the other side, there is so much of scarcity. All the three are not getting connected.
Yeah. They are bridging the gap.
All that we do is only connect all these dots.
So the trainers, you take them to the villages and
we bring them to Mumbai, wherever they are in Maharashtra. First, initially we are just focusing only on Maharashtra. And from whichever village they are, we first I tell them, it will take 4 months for you.
The dropouts, you bring them to Mumbai, okay.
Mumbai. So 4 months it will take, that also we tell them very clearly. Initially 1 month is only orientation, 3 months is the actual training. So this is tied up with a private institute already doing a good job. And they have their own, all these facilities are there, 2 rooms are there. And real training is happening. Okay, so these boys, we come, bring them here, then tell them, 3 months continuously you have to be here. You can't just drop out from here also. Because there are dropouts, no? So they have their that attitude.
Same attitude.
Dropout. So he said, this you cannot drop out. 3 months continuously you have to be there. So like that we tell them. Even then one or two boys will still, you know, run away.
So their accommodation and food is taken care of?
Yeah. Inside the institution only, we pay for that separately.
Okay.
So that is how it is. So once it is successful, the first batch is now getting out, and hopefully all of them will get employment because there's so much of opportunity available here. So even in their own respective nearest towns also, there's a huge opportunity. We only tell them you go and then get further work in workshop or somewhere, get further on the job training. Then you really land in a good job.
So now, sir, this Mumbai city, it's known for its speed breakers and potholes. So I heard on that area also you do a lot of activities.
Yeah. So this is one more area where we say, as we travel every day, we find the speed breakers because we go on a regular route every day. We know wherever potholes are there, wherever speed breakers are there. But there are many people who do not know this. And particularly these two-wheelers, and they come and just bump into them two speed breakers and then fall and get injured. This is regularly happening, and particularly the senior citizens and all traveling in auto, people, patients traveling in auto, and so the auto fellow doesn't know there's a speed breaker.
Suddenly they get a jerk.
Just bumps into it and then they get a major jerk and then it affects their health and they feel the pain. Everybody is watching and cursing the government, nobody's doing anything. So one day we decided, enough is enough, let us go and talk to the authorities. We went to the government authorities, we took a appointment, we talked to them. They said, yes, it will be done. In 1 or 2 months it will be done. See, we waited for 1 month, 2 months, nothing happened. After that, we said, sir, 2 months passed, nothing happened. They said, it will be done, don't worry, it will be done. But so it was not happening. Then we asked them, okay, if we do it, do you have any objection? Mm. They said, no. That we told we will be using our own resources, our own material. We don't want anything except permission. So we took the permission from them. Then we went, you can't do it during the daytime because vehicles will be passing by. So it has to be done only between 1 o'clock in the midnight, after 1 o'clock. Okay. So the vehicles will be almost nil, 1 to 4, at least 12 to 4. For that, again, you need police permission because the beat marshals will be there. So, so that permission also has to be taken. So we went to the police and then told that we got the permission from the authorities. But only thing is that it can happen only in the after post-midnight. So we need your permission. So they also cooperated. They said, okay, because we just went and told that these three people will be there. And the beat marshals should not trouble us. So they said, okay. So then we bought the paint and then we learned from a painter's assistant. That actually how that has to be done. It is not the simple oil paint, but he said he used epoxy paint and red oxide. You know, that would be a good combination. All that. So we tried it out and it really lost it and helped. And then we did it all over Chembur.
Okay.
And many places, the auto rickshaw fellows came and told, you know, this is a place where many people fall every day. Mm. And in near a society, one family told, we are watching from the top. And so many, you know, bikers, two-wheelers, they bump into it and then fall and get injured. So like that, so many people shared this kind of stories and they were very thankful. And some places they didn't allow us even to paint. The watchman came and said, no, you should not paint. We'll only do it.
Okay.
So it doesn't look nice for you to come all the way to do in our place. So like that, people came forward and it's happening. Now it's a continuous process. Only thing is after 3 to 4 months, we want to just repaint them so that it becomes visible. It just fades away after 4 or 5 months. So we do that.
And these potholes?
Yeah, potholes also. We identified the potholes, this is a different kind of technology. They have the hot mix and the cold mix. First we understood that, we went to Google and studied that, and then we spoke to those technical people who do the pothole filling. Then they told there's a cold mix which is available, and that alone you can handle, because hot mix you cannot handle. So we just wanted to keep it in the car, so that all the devotees who is interested in doing the seva, they have to keep some pack behind, and then when they come across a deadly pothole, not all potholes will be filling, something which is dangerous, they feel like that, they have to just only uncover that pack and then unpack and put it over there and run their car over that. So that will fix it like that. So then we learnt that, and there is a gum which has to be applied around that. So that is available, wherever it was available, we bought that. And we are putting it together and just trying it out now. It's on a trial phase now. So once it is successful, without a roller, because if you do it very professionally, you need a road roller to just run over this. So that may not be possible. All that we say is, it is better, something is better than nothing.
Yes.
So you just put that cold mix over that, along that gum. Ask the driver to do that. Just pour it over there and run your car over that. So that it gets fixed, temporarily at least. So that will be better than having nothing. So that is how it is.
Sir, approximately, can you say, sir, like painting one speed breaker or filling one pothole will cost how much?
Actually, our idea is to get it less than 100 rupees.
Okay.
Whatever we do, see, it has to be affordable.
Yes.
And we are able to do that. At this point in time, as I talk, then the painting one, see, we don't have to have many stripes like a zebra. You can have only 3 stripes are enough, we found. There's some indication that there's a speed breaker there.
Yes.
So like that, if you do it, it's less than 100 rupees. Even the cold mix also, right now it is costly, that we are talking to people, they are prepared to subsidize it and give it to us at a lower cost, because it is for a social cause. And for them also, our kind of customers are very, very, I mean, almost nil. He says, you came in the picture, we don't know, because people buy in tons.
Okay.
So smaller pack is a problem for them.
Okay.
So we are trying to work it around. See, unless it is less than 100 per pothole or per speed breaker, it would sound very, very costly, and nobody would do that.
Really? So money won't be a problem. It's more the attitude and
correct,
interest.
Correct. And it should be doable. No, very important point, it should be affordable and it should be doable. And just fill it, shut it, forget it. No, it should be like that. So in Mumbai, it is always like that. You have to do it very fast and run away from there. So people can't just filling potholes, the office goers and all that.
Yes.
So that's how it is. But still, even that post-midnight scenario, I was feeling that we can't get volunteers. But volunteers were more in number and speed breakers were less. So like that, it became at one point in time.
Okay.
Everybody was interested in doing that. Apart from all these regular seva for these deserted senior citizens and poor children, village youth, and the poor patients, what we have spoken about, there are suddenly something like 26/11 comes up. So it is not in our agenda otherwise. And it is not a continuous
the terrorist attack.
Terrorist attack. 2011, terrorist attack. When Kossoff chose to shoot so many people down. So immediately after that happened, I felt, you know, there may be so many people, because in the BTS station it has happened, there may be so many people from out station may not be having relatives in Mumbai.
Yes.
Who is having relatives, they will take care. So then we were one of the first few NGOs to reach there. And we spoke to the JJ Hospital authorities, and then we visited almost all the wounded patients. And then identified 12 of them. So our criteria was they should be poor, very poor, no resources backup, and also no relative here. So they are the people who could be literally stranded. So we identified some 12 of them, and then we said we will take care of you till the end. That means till you go back home. We are your relatives. That's it. So in turns, we will be coming every day. So every day we would visit. We would interact with the doctor, and whatever small needs are there, we'll buy medicines, and we'll, when they want something, we'll do that, and also talk to the relatives back home. We'll connect them also. So like that we were doing for a very long period, and till I think of a patient from Solapur, who was a Muslim gentleman. He was shot in the leg, and he was in the hospital, and then when he was to go back, and he was crying, he said, no, everything is lost. He was a vegetable vendor there. And nothing was there because he spent all the money on this treatment, a very long duration. We said, okay, we will step in and then see to it that you are reinstated to the old life. So we bought a vehicle and then filled it with vegetables and inaugurated the shop in Solapur. So there was another guy who was just selling some wares, and one bullet hit him and he fell down. So he said, no, I don't want to go to that place again, and I don't want to sell anything now. Then we asked him, what are you interested in? He said, I'm interested in driving. So we got him a driving license, we got him trained, and he's a taxi driver now in Mumbai. So he met us actually after that, after a year after that. Then he was very happy, settled in life. So like that, there was a ferry wala in Mumbai, you know, people head loads of cloth and all, then go street by street, and then they sell. And then one ferry wala was there, and the first time he was moving out of Bombay with the family. So two kids, the wife and himself, going to Calcutta to attend some wedding. He was near the VT station. He was the first one. Kossoff started shooting immediately. This one was affected. His wife just leapt out to pick up the two children who were playing there. And Kossoff's bullet hit her, and she fell down there only. So he went and then picked up both the children, and he took one bullet injury on his shoulder. And the wife dropped dead, and he couldn't even stay there because the children have to be protected. He moved out, and then one policeman came and then pulled him out of the place and put him in the hospital, nearby hospital. And from there he wanted to come back and search for the wife, and they wouldn't allow because his body is full of blood. And then from there he called up, relatives came, and then they found her dead. So then he was in the hospital. So when we met, and the relatives told us, don't tell that wife is dead. So when he regained consciousness, he saw us, and then he told, he was told to the relatives, she's in the adjacent building. So he every day we go there, he would tell, no, please see my wife also. You are not able to, it was very, very difficult for us to handle that situation. And the last day he was about to be discharged, and he was screaming, he said, I want to see my wife at least once, you are not taking me there and all that. Then we suggested that let some seniors, a relative come and explain to him, we are not in a position to, because the relatives told you only tell. So we were not in a position to break the news to him. So we called one of the senior relatives, and then he broke the news to him. And after that he went back near Vasai. For him also, we provided all the help and whatever was required. And then seeing all this, one set of artists in Mumbai, they conducted one exhibition only for these people whom we were helping, all the 12. They conducted one exhibition in Nehru Center. Entire proceeds of the sale they gave to all these people. Then I said, so we don't collect money, so all that we can do is collect all these 12 people there in Nehru Center. It was much after that everybody was discharged from the hospital. They themselves or their relative came, and then they received that proceeds from that. So that was very touching for us. It was a reward.
Now, talking about this success story, it's like I read through your mail about one beggar.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, as we were going to Siddhivinayak, we found one beggar, Vijay Lakshmi Amma, filling up one bank pain slip. So we were surprised, as a beggar, how you are filling this pain slip. So I asked her, no, what are you doing? How are you filling this pain slip? No, do you have a lot of money in the bank? Then she told her story. So like, she was from Andhra, and her son, daughter-in-law and two children, they were all living together. The son and daughter-in-law, one after another, died, leaving these two grandchildren. with her, and she was to raise both of them, and they didn't have enough money. She thought she'll come to Bombay and find out some employment, do something, and then raise them. So they were put in a boarding school, and they were continuing there. She was to pay some 4,000 rupees every month, and they reduced it to 2,000 because both were doing very well and some scholarship or whatever, 2,000 rupees was to pay. And if the 2,000 is not paid, then they'll be evicted from the boarding. That was the condition. So what she did, she came to Mumbai, and she was affected by some disease, and then one leg was to be amputated. And she couldn't any job either. And she ended up as a beggar, as simple as that, in the other footpath. So that is where we saw. And what she does, whatever alms are collected, again, 2,000 rupees, immediately she will send it to the school. That is precisely what she was doing.
Hmm.
So her problem is, when the school is closed for nearly a month or so, she has to be there to receive the children
okay.
in the house, because there is nobody else. No? Hmm. So during that period, that month, you know, that the fees cannot be paid.
Hmm.
So like that, some gaps will be there. Some months, you know, again gaps will be there. She cannot raise so much of money like that. So then what we told was that money we will pick up. As long as they are in the body, we will help you with that. So that we started helping, and then suddenly her one part of the house collapsed because of the heavy rain over there. And recently she wanted some money, otherwise you know, the children cannot come and the house will be flooded. So for that also we just collected some money and then gave it to her. Now she has gone there to repair. So this kind of stories are there in the footpath.
And also one person, Haribau.
It was also a very interesting story. Every day we used to see him on the footpath. Going to Siddhi Vinayak, somehow I felt that he can't be a beggar, no? Looking at his face. So one day I asked him, you don't appear to be a beggar, on a wheelchair, no? He was in a wheelchair, he was spastic. Then he told about his story, then he was from Interior Maharashtra, he came to Mumbai, and some NGO helped him with a wheelchair, and in that he was having a small shop. So in between he was affected by some disease, and then he was in the hospital for some nearly 3 months. And when he came back, he saw all the stuff stolen and then the wheelchair in broken condition.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't repair and all that. So he tried to get help from somebody. Nobody would help, and then he became a beggar. Then I asked him, so if we get all those things back, like your wheelchair also intact, your stuff, whatever you are selling, all this, would you be still interested in running that shop? Do you have that kind of aptitude now as you had before? He said, why not? Definitely we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we said, okay, we'll do that. So we quickly got a wheelchair. And whatever he was selling, that ready-made small socks and cap and all the stuff near the Portuguese church. So we bought the entire stock and then also this and then reinstated that guy. So now he is doing very well. He is very happy. He is not begging anymore. So his shop is there. Anybody can go near the Portuguese church can look at Haribaba, and then he has put that Sai Baba's photograph there.
Mm.
And he will looking at us from distance, he will say, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. It's very happily reinstated life.
Listening to the Seva activities, it's not like doing the service and giving away the beneficiaries in midway. You make the beneficiaries independent in their own life and only then...
Yeah, actually, as I told you, this model we have chosen, the regular models are that we are all belonging to different samitis. All the volunteers with us in this, all these activities are from different samitis participating in regular activities. So like we go for Narayan Seva, as I told you, it is many to many. So many people come, give food to many people, and we are done with it and we go back. But there are pockets like this, which require a deeper engagement, deeper commitment and a longer duration of hand-holding till they come out of that. See, somebody has fallen, so till he gets up and stands on his own, you have to hold him. No? That kind of hand-holding you want. So that is a kind of participation is a theme here. So that is how we went about.
I am just reminded of one thing, sir. It seems once one senior devotee, he was thinking, Swami has told, help ever, hurt never. What does it actually mean? So after contemplating on it, he came out with the thought that help ever to empower.
Correct. That is true.
To make the beneficiary independent on their own.
Yeah, even as you are talking now, this Roha accident which has happened, the railway accident, there is one small child whose leg is amputated. Now everybody knows about it because there is so much of press coverage about it. So you are looking at it from a distance because there is so much of limelight on the case. And definitely a lot of NGOs and social workers would be going there. So we may not have a meaningful role. So as I told, our checkpoint is, so if we don't do, what happens? Somebody else would come and do that, then better we stay away. Somebody would anyway do that, no? So we had only go to those areas where nobody is likely to be there. So like that we watched this child also for a week or so, this case, and then after that I went there to just check up with the relatives, you know. Then true story came out, like, you know, they have problems of looking after the child. One patient is in one hospital, another patient in another hospital. Not many relatives are available. All of them are working somewhere and they are very, very poor, you know. The relatives are like maid servants and somewhere working as a peon in some office and all that. See, for them to take leave and be with them for a longer duration and spend money from the pocket would be difficult. No doubt that a lot of people have given money, nearly 18 lakhs are collected in that account. But the issue is, like, you know, somebody has to be there, their relatives have to be there with the child. And whoever relative is coming, you know, they have to spend from their pocket for their food. And so what we thought was, it would be a good idea if we provide food for the caretakers. Whoever is coming, morning and evening. So we started the service, morning and evening, for 4 packets of food. Even now we give to them. Then they say it's a big relief. So we only told them this will not be revealed to any press or anything. We don't want any publicity. We quietly come and give food and go away. And our volunteers, whatever we have collected money, that also we have given to them for other expenditure, because they have to also travel. And so the child lost its mother, and the father had multiple injuries, and the one child, that leg was amputated, the other child had, there was a head injury. Like that, the whole family is in distress.
So now let's come, I think this is one of the last seva. Overnight meditation.
Yeah. So as I told, any seva, if it is not powered by sadhana, the midway there's a very big risk. So any time, you know, you may just give up, it will break down. So it has to be powered by sadhana. So we also lay equal emphasis on sadhana. So we have taken up a sadhana again. It should not be a normal routine sadhana. In a routine sadhana, like whatever we do, any sadhana is good for that matter. But without much commitment and intensity, if you do the sadhana, you may not be able to reap the fruit. So we wanted a deeper engagement, as you do in seva also. In the sadhana also, we wanted a deeper kind of commitment and a deeper engagement and a high intensity sadhana. So we took up this after discussing with everybody, the overnight meditation. So we tell people, first thing is, we have to reach a meditative state. That is objective. So it is not, you know, Thursday for 1 hour I sit and meditation. So that is not meditation. So whatever we do now also, loosely we call it as meditation, but it is an attempt to meditate and reach a meditative state. That is very important. So if you reach the meditative state, even in the during the daytime, as you are working, cooking, going, whatever you do, if you do in a meditative state, the quality will be totally different.
Okay.
So to reach that meditative state, that is real meditation. So what we do is a practice. So this overnight we sit and chant. And chanting is all powerful. So whatever name, whichever God, we tell people, whatever name of God, not necessarily you should tell.
Chant mentally or loudly?
Mentally.
Okay.
So we start with Jyoti meditation, because we are from Sai group. So we know about Jyoti meditation. Swami has spoken about it. And then we initially played the one which is sold in our bookstall, the Jyoti meditation. Afterwards, we learnt it ourselves. We practiced that. We started Jyoti meditation till 2 o'clock. And 2 o'clock, there's a break, tea break. At that time, we play these Anil Kumar videos.
Okay.
So we are always in satsang. So we are in meditation. We listen to Anil Kumar. And we discuss Swami's teachings and all that as we meet. So we create a very satsang kind of environment all the time. We are in that environment itself, no, that spiritual lives will come. So that's the idea. So we do it every alternate Fridays. For okay. 14, 15 days we do that. And after 2 o'clock that break is there, then...
What time it starts?
We start around 11 o'clock in the night. So 2 o'clock is a tea break, the Anil Kumar video, whatever time it's 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever. After that, again we sit in meditation at 5 o'clock, 21 Omkars, then Subrabhatam, and then we have Rudram, Rudrabhishekam. Everybody has one small lingam.
Okay.
So because every year we go to Himalayas to practice this meditation for a brief period, one week only go to some important pilgrim centers in Himalayas. So that when we come back, we bring one stone from there. We put our hand into the river and then bring it. Then we call it our own lingam. And that we do Rudrabhishekam. So in the morning, and then split at 6 o'clock. So this happens once in a fortnight.
So now, sir, so many service activities. How do you stay inspired and motivated?
So I always tell people, the only source of inspiration is Sai literature.
Reading Sai literature.
Reading Sai literature. Very important. Mm. Even at least one page you read in a day. If I don't say that you can just take a book and you have to complete it in certain number of days. Mm. It's not required at all. Because all these are all from Swami direct. I tell you, I have to definitely mention this. There is one Yogi Ram Surat Kumar in Thirunamalai.
Okay.
It is written in their literature. I went to Thirunamalai and then I bought a book. In that it was written, Yogi Ram Surat Kumar would insist playing this Radio Sai,
mm-hmm.
Swami's messages,
mm-hmm.
speeches which used to come.
Okay.
And he would tell all the people, see, God is speaking. Listen, God is speaking.
Oh.
Like that. So it's a great inspiration. So the Shabda Brahman, which is coming from God's the own voice, so that really inspires. So now we have all the Sai literature. Every Sai devotee is always full of Sai literature. Only thing is we have to find time to read whatever you have bought already. So pick up any Satya Sai speaks which you have and open any page. We don't even tell now that we start from chapter 1 and go very logically one after another. Any
okay.
chapter you and then read and you automatically get inspiration. It's flowing through that.
Mm.
Every Sai literature is a very big repository of spiritual vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And we draw inspiration from that. And also be in satsang all the time. Discuss only about Swami, Swami's projects, miracles, all that, whatever inspires you
okay.
very spiritually. So to be in that environment itself, you know, gives us strength to do all this kind of seva.
These sevas definitely has touched many beneficiaries, has helped many people. How has it helped you personally?
The world doesn't change. Because from the Ramayana days, Mahabharata days, we find that time also Ravan was there, Duryodhan was there. So the conflicts are going to be there all the time. That is the first thing we learn. Then only thing that can change to face this is ourselves. The transformation has to happen in us.
Yes.
What we have been doing before all this intense seva which you embarked upon is we were at a very perfunctory kind of, you know, superficial kind of situation. Okay, we used to attend bhajan, attend seva, like that. But the participation was not intense. And the moment we realized that we have to be more intense in whatever we do, or put our entire heart into that, and that there was an alchemic change. The change really happened within each one of us. That changed our perspective with which we look at the world.
Mm.
So that has helped in transformation. And I wouldn't say that we have reached. We just started. And we have a long way to go. The transformation has started happening is something which we ourselves feel because our perspective has changed. The perspective with which we look at the world has changed. And there's a spiritual dimension to everything. If there's a conflict even in office, we look at it now, there's a spiritual dimension to it. People will be like that. People may talk like that. Let us ignore and get on with life. No, this kind of things, you know, we don't get normally unless we have a spiritual bent of mind.
There's a maturity in our thought and attitude.
Correct. So there's an attitudinal change. Definitely. People who are looking at the material world and think that is be all end all, they also look at there's an alternate where we can find peace. It need not come only through material resources.
Mm. Anything more you want to share?
No, I only want to tell the listeners through this, participate very actively, more intensely, and keep the sadhana on, particularly the namasmaran. Chanting is very, very important. It may sound very simple, but it is very effective. We found throughout the day, whenever we find time, even as we are traveling, when there's a gap, between two thoughts we can chant.
Mm.
Afterwards, you can replace thought with chant.
Yes.
So that is how it is. So sadhana has to be very intense.
Yes. Seva and sadhana should go together.
Then it will lead us to the real seva.
Mm.
And if you are engaged in all the time in seva and sadhana, alongside whatever you do,
okay.
alongside whatever you do. So it's not that you have to resign your job and take up this full time. There's no need for that at all. We are all engaged in our own activities. Like I also work and all my team members also work. And we find only Saturday, Sunday, weekends for seva and sadhana and other than after office hours. So whatever time is available, within that we can do very high intense. The question is, how do you increase the intensity of what we do?
Mm.
Not necessarily I'm seva and sadhana also. Other things also, if you just look at it now, with the high intensity, if we participate in any activity, the results are going to be different. And that is precisely the same thing we are going to shift to our seva and sadhana. The wholehearted participation and the high intensity.
Yes, sir, but before concluding, I want to ask one question. like your subgroup's name is Chembur Dust. So why have you named it as Chembur Dust?
Actually, no, everybody should realize, in total realization, in enlightenment, what happens? In enlightenment, you are not getting extra power. We realize that we are nothing. We are just a speck of dust in this vast universe. So we begin with that, because this is the goal. At the end, we are going to realize we are just a speck of dust. Even the entire Earth looks like a speck of dust, if you really go and see the astronomical pictures of NASA. So we ourselves are just a speck of dust, that we should never forget. All the time to just remind ourselves, we are just dust, nothing beyond that. And we are from Chembur, that's why we added Chembur Dust.
No, sir, just when you are telling about dust, I am tempted to share with you one experience. This happened in 1970s or 80s when the Prashanthi Mandir was being constructed. So the construction workers were working for the construction of the Mandir, and it seems Swami used to come to see the construction site, how the workers are working, the sevadars are working. So one day during one such session, Swami called all the sevadars and construction workers and told them to take Padmanabhaskar. So these workers and sevadars touched Swami's feet one by one. Then after the session was over, Swami was just going, some devotee saw Swami's feet and they told Swami, dust is there in your feet. And he told in Telugu. He told Swami, Marakalu undi. Then Swami saw the feet and Swami told, this is not Marakalu. This is like Marakatalu. Marakatalu is gemstone. It's a kind of gemstone. So Swami told, these are not dust. These are gemstones. Because that dust was from the hands of those workers and sevadas. They were working in the construction.
Oh, that's very interesting. Sai Ram.
So, you may call it Chembur dust, but for Swami, it's Chembur gems, I think.
That would be a great honor, but only you wanted to be in the realization that we are just.
Okay, sir. Thank you for coming all the way from Mumbai.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
For sharing with us about these activities. Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. 12:35 p.m. A warm and pleasant afternoon here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram, the spiritual capital of the universe. Dear listeners, once again, loving Sai Rams and greetings. This is the segment Service Love in Action, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. Well, today in this segment, I played for you a conversation with a Sai devotee from Chembur in Mumbai, who is a prominent member of a group of Sai active workers who call themselves Chembur Dust. As you heard in the conversation, this group is involved in a dozen of service activities. Name a few, they are Midnight Scholar Seva, Bol Bindas Class, Vriddha Seva, Footpath Cancer Patient Seva, Kidney Patients Breakfast Seva, Speed Breaker and Pothole Sevas, and many more such innovative Seva activities. But as you heard in the conversation, Seva and Sadhana should go together, and hence they conduct another unique activity called Overnight Meditation. Well, dear listeners, the guest in the conversation didn't want his name to be revealed. He just wants to be a nobody, as he named the group as Chembur Dust. But after listening to him, I feel that the group should have been named Chembur Best, as they have shown through their action what Swami has always said, give all and take nothing, serve all and be nothing. Well, dear listeners, I hope you all will agree with me and are inspired by it as much as we are. So please do send us your feedback and comments on this conversation. As always, you can mail them to listener@radiosai.org. So it's time for me to sign off for today, and Brother Prem and Arvind are here already for the next segment of today's Thursday Life, that is the afternoon satsang. So I place this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet and meet you again next Thursday. Jai Sai Ram.
that we're on the right path. We'll all meet at your feet.
Thank you.